This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Seen a bunch of power plays, Matt, so far tonight in Sunrise, but no goals on power plays. The lone goal coming 56 seconds into the game, courtesy of Brad Marchand. 1-0 is the score right now, under 3 minutes to go in the first period. Edmonton outshooting the Panthers 11-8, but the Bob doing his thing there in net.
What's crazy about this first period is it feels like the Panthers have been on the power play for half the time.
Yeah.
And they've only got 8 shots on goal. And again, what, 0-for-3 on the power play, and that's what, 1-for-30 or 1-for-31 at home in the playoffs on the power play, which is mind-boggling. But what about Bob? Sergei Bobrovsky's been great so far tonight, and doesn't it, I mean, it feels like we just watched 2 periods of hockey sandwiched into one. That was a crazy first period.
And we've got another penalty coming.
Another one coming here with 2:45 to go.
This is the 7th penalty, Matt. Of the first period, and it's going to be on Edmonton. So another power play is coming for the Edmonton Oilers. Wow, man, this has been something. All right, quick update, Matt. The Murray State Racers, baby, have tied this thing up, a homer in the top of the 7th inning. And just like that, we were talking about it. We said, you know, that number a little juicy there on Murray State. And they have tied the game at 3. We head to the bottom of the 7th inning in Durham, North Carolina, 3-3 with a trip to Omaha on the line. The Racers have tied it up.
How about that home run there? Jonathan Hogart, I believe, for Murray State.
That is second of the game, I think.
Yeah, he's got 21 this season. Whew. He had a bomb. I think that landed in Chapel Hill. Did you see that thing? That was a rocket.
Obliterated, yeah. Yes.
No doubt the left fielder didn't even move. He just watched it soar into the trees. And so we had goaltender interference here on Arvidsson, and that puts the Panthers on the power play again.
Man.
So final 2:30 of the first period, and we got 1:40 to go on the power play. You got to think at some point the Panthers are going to be able to break the ice. How can you come up empty on the power play time after time after time again?
Already 0-for-3 tonight, and this is their 4th power play.
There
now they finally get it, and there's your first period over. It is now cashed in 3 consecutive games. The Florida Panthers now up 2-0, and on the 4th power play opportunity, Matt, they're able to convert, and just like that, the Panthers, Carter Varhaeghe, on the power play, gets the goal, and the Florida Panthers now lead 2-0, and I would imagine the number has skyrocketed here on the Florida Panthers. It looks like it'll move out to around a -620 favorite for the Florida Panthers.
Wow, what a shot. Top shelf. Varhaeghe just sneaks it in there over Stuart Skinner's shoulder. Ian Cameron, the Canadian kid, had
a player prop
tonight, and Carter Varhaeghe to score a goal at +230. It was not a full unit play, but he does cash. So
first period overs now.
And a power play goal for the Panthers.
There
that makes him, 2-for-32.
You've been asking for it, yep. Matt. You've been begging for it, and now you got it. 2-0 is the score. 2 minutes to go, first period. The Panthers finally strike on the power play. And now, Matt, on the live line, out to a -660 favorite are the Florida Panthers and the Oilers at +420. Now out to +470. And the total, which actually had dipped down to 5.5, is back to 6.5. And once again, for the 3rd straight game, Matt, the first period over does cash. It was juiced around -145 or so, and comes home for, once again, the 3rd straight game here of the Stanley Cup Final. 2-0 the score right now. Panthers leading the Edmonton Oilers. Doug Kazarian going to join us in about 10 minutes, Matt. He's got a WNBA play for tonight. He's got some plays for tomorrow, and also we'll talk some game 3 with him for the NBA Finals. You know, one thing we've been talking about a lot, Matt, regarding game 3 is, will Tyrese Halliburton have that big moment, right? He's, even though he had the big shot in game 1, and that was amazing, he only had 14 points in that game, 6 assists, 17 right. points last night, 6 assists as well. He's gone under his player props. He's been rather underwhelming so far in this NBA Finals, outside, of course, of the game winner in game number 1. Rick Carlisle was asked about Tyrese Halliburton and why he was not involved early on last night.
It was a lot more to the game than just scoring. So everybody's got to do more. Starts with the best players. Starts with, you know, Tyrese and Pascal and Miles, who will be in here to talk to you guys. And then it goes from there. And so you know, people shouldn't just look at his points and assists and judge how he played, or any of our judge how any of our guys played just on that. That's not how our team is built. I mean, we're an ecosystem that has to function together. And you know, stats, you know, we got to score enough points to win the game. But who gets them and how they get them, not important.
I understand what he's saying there about scoring, because a lot of times, you know, fans or media will put too much emphasis on how many points a guy scored, right? Especially a point guard. But the problem I see with Halliburton is too often where he's not aggressive. He's not forcing the action. You know, he talked about it, that clip we keep referring to during the Knicks series, yep, where he said he caught himself walking the ball up the floor too many times. You got to push the pace. Last night, it looked to me like he wasn't even into the game in the first half. They're kind of sleepwalking a little bit. I think you're going to see a difference in the way the Pacers play in game three. When they get home, they got the crowd behind them, and they'll wake up a little bit. Last night, it just felt like, Tim, that spot was pretty good for OKC, because it was really good for OKC. Lose the first game at home, you're a dominant favorite. You're going to have all the urgency in the world to even this series and come back and win. And also, there's 2 days off between games. Pacers just kicking around in OKC, I think a little bit flat when they came out last night. I thought there was too much time off between games, and the Pacers looked, and Halliburton looked flat to me in the first half last night.
Yeah, and no doubt there was urgency. You saw it from the bigs as well in that one, as a 18-point lead at the half. We got some fisticuffs going on down there in Sunrise, Florida, as the Florida Panthers lead 2-0. Mark Spector is a senior columnist for Sportsnet north of the border, Matt. He goes, Panthers make it 2-0. Oilers deserve worse than that. Handing a game away in the Stanley Cup final here. Can't play much dumber hockey than what we've seen so far.
There's some stuff to sort out here, too, because we got a brawl on both sides, and it looks like might have another power play coming up, Tim. We might have one penalty on each team here, but this has been a crazy first period tonight with, and I feel like the Oilers made a lot more mistakes too. There's no, and the scoreboard shows you that it's 2-0. But well, the Panthers have had the power play 4 times in the first period, right?
Yep. 4 power plays for Florida and 3 power plays for Edmonton. There's 7 penalties in that first period. So the first period has come to a close, folks. 2-0 the score. The Panthers have the lead. Goals from Brad Marchand 56 seconds into the game. And then Carter Verhaeghe scores on the power play. By the way, I went back and watched that goal. Holy smokes, what a shot.
I know.
Right over. I don't know how you do it. I mean, some of these shots that you see from these guys are just ridiculous. Gets it right over the shoulder of Stuart Skinner. I mean, maybe, a couple of inches just to clear that shoulder. Gets it in.
A lot of times you feel like there's a lot of luck involved in the way the puck bounces. But, I mean, that was a hell of a shot. Right now, Florida minus 750 on the money line at DraftKings.
Yeah, I saw a peak at 5-1 there for the Oilers. It's down to plus 470. All right, let's update you folks on the winner-take-all situation in Durham, North Carolina. A berth, the final berth on the line for the College World Series. And Murray State just tied the game up 3-3, Matt. This has been a fun one. And once upon a time, you could have got under 19.5. It has definitely calmed down a little bit as we've gotten homers, 2 of them from Hogart, the leadoff hitter for the Murray State Racers. He led off the game with a homer and then absolutely obliterated a baseball in the top of the 7th. So, Matt, bottom 7 in Durham, 3-3, Murray State and Duke with a berth to the College World Series on the line. Murray State trying to become just the 4th 4-seed to reach the College World Series. Oral Roberts did it in 2023. Stony Brook did it in 2012. And Fresno State, the true Cinderella, won the national championship in 2008 as a 4-seed. And Murray State trying to get it to the College World Series later this week.
Yeah, you love to see it. It's like a Cinderella story. But at the same time, it's not like Duke's a college baseball powerhouse.
No, that's true.
Not the case. But Murray State tied at 3, 2 outs, bottom of the 7th, and we could have a fantastic finish in this one. The last team trying to punch its ticket to Omaha to join Paul Howard, Mitch Moss, and the VSIN crew.
Yep, no doubt. We'll be there starting on Thursday with some shows from Rocco's Bar. Hey, folks, football season not too far away. We had some news today. Jair Alexander, adios there. His tenure in Green Bay came to a close. So if you want to bet smarter this upcoming football season, well, of course, become a VSIN Pro subscriber. Get a year for $199, and you'll also get a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now and get instant access to our daily email, which includes all our best bets, real-time betting splits, also our NFL betting guide, which will be out July 1st. You don't want to miss out on this limited-time offer. Head on over to vsin.com/subscribe. Use the promo code BOOK to sign up, vsin.com/subscribe. So right now, one period in the books, Matt, in Sunrise, Florida, and the Edmonton Oilers did not play a very strong first period of hockey. The Florida Panthers lead 2-0.
Now when you put the Panthers on the power play 4 times, you only had to pay for it once with a power play goal. Headed to the 8th, Tim, Murray State Duke tied 3-3.
We still got a WNBA game on the card tonight, couple tomorrow. Game 3 of the NBA Finals on Wednesday. Our guy Doug Kazarian going to talk some hoops with us on the other side of the break. Stick around. It's VSIN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
They could be racing to Omaha, Matt Eumanns. Another homer for Murray State. Cinderella. The clock hasn't struck midnight yet. 4-3 Murray State, top of the 8th inning down in Durham, North Carolina.
Third homer of the night for the Racers and Tim Murray State that much closer making it to Omaha.
All right. We'll keep you updated on that. One period in the books, 2-0 the score for the Florida Panthers. They're -720 favorites, +450 if you think the Oilers can mount the comeback down there in Sunrise. Brad Marchand scored the game's first goal, first period over cashes for the third straight time in the Stanley Cup Final. All right, let's talk some hoops, Matt. We still got a game tonight in the WNBA, and a gentleman who loves to handicap the WNBA, our good friend Doug Kazarian, who joins us right now courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. Make sure you head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the Doug Kazarian Sports Network. It's posted there to the top of his Twitter profile. I know Matt is chomping at the bit to ask you some WNBA, but I'm going to steal it from you, Matt, because we have a game here. DK coming up in a little bit. Golden State at the LA Sparks. Sparks laying 7. What do you got? You cooking up something tonight for us?
Yeah, I got a same game parlay. Not something I usually do, but I think there are angles here. First of all, the spread screams Sparks and just the flat spot of all flat spots for the Valkyries. They, as an expansion team, they just beat the Aces by 25. Their coach, former assistant with the Aces, won 2 titles there. And this team clearly wanted the game over the weekend in the last game they had. So now it's a giant flat spot. But I think the market's come up. It hits 7, and I understand the buyback. So I just don't think the Sparks are good enough defensively to be laying 6 or 7 points. So it's a hard pass for me. But I do like 4 legs of a same-game parlay. So let's start with Kayla Thornton of the Valkyries. She's been chucking and bombing 3s. So I want to go with at least 1 made 3. And she's a big, she crashes the board. So 4+ rebounds. And then De'Erica Hamby is the best rebounder on the Spark. She averages about 8. I think 6+ is a safe wager. And then you add Kelsey Plum and you're looking at 10+ points for Plum, who can go for 20, 25. And you're looking at -123. Now, why do I like the same game parlay? Well, I think the market's gotten pretty tight with a lot of players now, whether it's NBA or WNBA. So if their over-under for rebounds is 7.5, juice to the over, they're usually going to land between 7 and 8 rebounds, just the way this is. And so getting 6-plus boards when you know their playing time and things like that, I think there's an advantage there. So it gives me a little action on the night game here. Like I said, minus 123 range, depending on the book. And I think those are the key, you know, key players with Plum, Hamby. Those are the two best players for the Sparks. And then Kayla Thorne's been playing really well as well.
Rebuttal, Matt?
Wake me up when this WNBA talk is over. Excuse me. Dozed off there for a second. You know, I actually heard there are riots in L.A. today because everybody's so fired up about this game. Valkyries and the Sparks. Actually, Doug, I'm a big fan of Natalie Nicasi, the Golden State Valkyries coach. And then, like you said, the spot, they're off a big win over the Aces, so you would think a bit of a flat spot there tonight. Now, a winning bet's a winning bet, and Doug handicaps the WNBA as much as anyone. Doug, how's your WNBA season gone so far about a month into it?
It's good. I'm in the black. Nothing like last summer. Last summer, plus 116 units, which was really not beating the market every day, every game. It was really more about just riding the links like Secretariat. I mean, they were just a beast. Their win total was like under 500, and they end up almost winning the title. So it was really a lot of second half money lines and things like that. But I was all about the links all year, and then obviously doing well. I think the market's tightened up a little bit, but I think they're still beatable and there's still some opportunities. I really like a game tomorrow. I want to shift to that because you have the Chicago Sky visiting the Liberty. The line now 17. Matt, I was talking to you on Saturday, just telling you how bad the Chicago Sky are offensively, and they lost their veteran point guard, their captain and leader, Courtney Vandersloot, torn ACL, done for the season. And so they're likely going to start Haley Van Lith. She played 25 minutes on Saturday, by far the most minutes, and she's just not good. Yes, she resonates on social media, and yes, she was in Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, but she's not a WNBA player that should be starting and logging a lot of minutes. She's too slow. The Sky already had trouble offensively with Angel Reese and whatnot. This team's really bad. Now, the Liberty are expected to be without Jonquel Jones. He was in a boot. She hurt her ankle in the last game and did not return. Given what the spread is, there's no reason for this, for her to play. And she'll, I think the front line of the Sky with Cardoso will have, well, just like, I think the game pace will be slow. I think it's just one of those games they'll muck it up. I don't think the Liberty are going to drop 100 like they did the last time they faced the Sky. I think this has like 85-60 written all over it. And I don't think the Sky are going to muster any points. So I like the under in the game, which is 167. It's come down 1 point, but I still like it. And whenever the team totals get put on the board, I like the Sky team total under. It should be around 76, maybe 75.5, something like that. And I don't think they get over 65 points. I really think got some issues here. They're already third lowest scoring team in the league. And then they lose their point guard, who's not like a huge scorer, but she averages about 5 assists. She, like I said, she's a veteran. She's a leader. And they're in trouble right now. And the Liberty team won't be like eager to blow them out. They're not going to be scoring quickly and generating a lot of possessions. I think this is going to be a boring double-digit win for New York, assuming Jonquel Jones does not play.
Yeah, it should be a blowout win in favor of the Liberty. Angel Reese missed layups over under 4.5. What are you playing?
I would take the over. It's really just a kind of a – I'd love to have an experiment on this, but I'd have to get her in a candid interview in order to do it. I don't understand why she doesn't want to shoot layups with her left dominant hand. She prefers like the underhand right scoop shot from her knees or waist. Like it doesn't make a lot of sense. She has a decent shot, like free throw form and everything. I don't understand why it's gotten this bad, but it's certainly resonating. And it's going to be interesting if she ever improves because she's a decent player. I'll give her. She's got a motor like no other. But the I'm just disappointed I didn't come up with the term me-bounds because I think it's extremely creative and by the trolls out there on social media. But it's a very funny term.
Tim Murray, give us an update on college baseball.
Yeah, the Fighting Ja Morants now up 5-3. Murray State adding to their lead in Durham with a berth to Omaha on the line. Doug Kazarian joining us courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. He's got a new YouTube channel endeavor going on, Doug Kazarian Sports Network. Check him out on social media, and he's got his link there tweeted or posted to the top of that link. All right, let's get to game three of the NBA Finals. We'll jump to a player prop. A lot of us were wondering about Isaiah Hartenstein, how much he would play in game two. Had a strong performance. Right now, market sits at 7.5 points for him. Game three, Doug, what do you like with Isaiah Hartenstein?
I think you have to play the under. Game one, he went over, but I think it was pretty fluky. Game two, he only had 3 points. He was 1 of 2 from the field and 1 free throw. He does get some putbacks. So if he crashes the boards, which he does, and then gets the putbacks, fine. But I think the Pacers are going to be better on the glass, more desperate off a loss versus game two. But if you watch him, he had 4 assists. He's really lurking around the 3-point line on offense, looking to do dribble handoffs, looking to do bounce passes on slip screens and backdoor cuts. He's rarely gets the ball. He does sometimes do the floater, but you have a little protection here. It's 7.5. I would have made it 5.5. I just think the way this offense goes, and I just think he's a great screen assist guy. And I think under 7.5 is clearly my favorite bet for game three. In terms of the side, I think I'm going to bet whoever loses game three in game four.
Yep.
I think we're coming back to OKC at 2-2. I've been eyeing these big men, Hartenstein and Holmgren, like you mentioned, Tim. Doesn't look like Mark Daniel is going to start Hartenstein, even though I think he should go with the double big lineup. He got there with his over rebounds. I was on that, but I'm not going back. He got 3 lucky ones in the third quarter. I've actually rode Holmgren under rebounds in, I think, 5 or 6 straight games. He's gone under his rebounds prop in 7 straight. So all 5 games of the Western Conference Finals and the first 2 games so far. But I think some of it's been fluky. He's had more opportunities and teammates like Lou Dort or Isaiah Joe have stolen the ball from him. I'm going to kind of walk away from the blackjack table on the rebounds prop with Holmgren. As you see here, it's come down. The market was 8.5, actually 9.5 in game one. It's now 8.5 under, heavily juiced. I just think he's going to be right around there. I think the edge is gone with the juice correction and even the line going from 9.5 to 8.5. Hartenstein only logged 23 minutes in the last game, 17, I believe, in game one. I know he's a better rebounder in terms of score, but I just think it's playing with fire at this point. You just don't know the opportunities. And the Pacers were a bad rebounding team during the regular season, but they've held their own. They out-rebounded the Thunder by 15, I want to say, in game one, and then only got out-rebounded by a couple in game two. That's a win for any Pacers fan. So I'm just going with points under for Hartenstein. I do expect Halliburton to bounce back. I know you guys were talking about him in the last segment. I think that was a pretty smart look. You heard Richard Jefferson on the broadcast saying he wants him looking at the rim more. Only 3 points in the first half. I do think he scores more in the first half, so maybe a points prop over. But for me, only play Hartenstein under 7.5 points in game three.
Well, check him out on YouTube, Doug Kazarian Sports Network. Follow him on Twitter, at Doug Kazarian. Doug, always appreciate it, man. Best of luck tonight and with the bets moving forward.
You got it, fellas. Thanks so much.
There he is, Dougie K joining us there. Murray State, baby. 6 outs away, Matt Newman's, from heading to Omaha. We'll get you an update on that, as well as an update on the ice as we're about to start the second period down in Sunrise, Florida. Panthers lead 2-0.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ooh, don't call it a comeback, Matt Humans. 2 minutes into the second period, the Edmonton Oilers on the power play. Get a run. I'm watching the baseball game, too. Corey Perry was able to beat Sergei Bobrovsky 2-1. The score now, Florida with that one-goal lead. They're down to a minus 298 favorite, plus 220 if you like the Edmonton Oilers. But we are also fixated on what is happening down in Durham, North Carolina. The Murray State Racers up 5-3, just loaded the bases with no outs. Jonathan Hogard, their best player, who has 2 homers tonight, 6 home runs during the NCAA tournament. He ends up striking out, and now a ground out with the bases loaded. Fielder's choice at home. Still bases loaded, but now 2 outs, Matt. Top of the 8th inning. Murray State trying to crack this thing open and head to the College World Series. And we will see if they're able to do so here.
This could be a big missed opportunity for Murray State here. Bases loaded, no outs. You got the heart of your lineup coming up, and you get a strikeout, a ground out, and now you got a 1-1 count here. with two outs. Murray State still up 5-3, even if the rally fizzles. But Tim had a chance to really bust this thing open. And right now, the hitter's in a 1-2 hole. So Murray State, wow, a goal for the Florida Panthers. Wow. How about this? 3 minutes into the second period, Panthers answer that Corey Perry goal for Edmonton with one of their own. So 3-1 Florida. And the live number back up to minus 720 for Florida.
And how about this total, Matt?
And Murray State strikes out, and Murray State wastes a bases loaded, no out opportunity. Duke gets two strikeouts and a ground out to escape big time trouble.
Panthers get the goal, I believe, as we're going to watch the replay here off of a turnover for turnover. And looks like Sam Bennett is the one. Nope, no, it is not Sam Bennett. Reinhardt, excuse me. He gets the goal. How about the total, Matt? We had gotten as low as 5.5. Right now, your total is 8.5.
It was a crazy amount of power plays in this goal in this game so far, Tim. What have we had? 8 total power plays so far?
Believe that is true. Let me double check the box score here. But yes, we've seen 2 power play goals. Corey Perry, the most recent, but the response coming from Sam Reinhart, his 5th goal of the postseason. And from a penalty standpoint, as we take a look right now, yeah, it has been it hasn't been pretty. We've seen a whole bunch of penalties. Yeah, 8 penalties so far in this game and 2 power play goals. But good response for the Florida Panthers. And just a moment ago, boy, if you could look into the future, and that's what we try to do as live bettors, boy, you could have got the Panthers on a pretty cheap price considering they scored just a minute later after the Oilers cut the deficit down to 1. So 3-1 is the score, Matt, under 16 minutes to go. In the second period, Sam Reinhart from Carter Verhaeghe, his 3rd goal, the Panthers' 3rd goal of the game. Verhaeghe now with 2 points in the game tonight. Now, our guy, Ian Cameron, did have a little sprinkle, little bet on Corey Perry anytime goal, yeah, I believe. Did. So, good hit there.
Corey Perry goal plus 325. So, Ian Cameron's got that in his pocket, and he's also got a winner. Tonight on a goal by Carter Verhaeghe at plus 230. So
Moneyline Marv, he just tweeted this out that at, I guess, BetUSA, you could bet Brad Marchand and Corey Perry, 37-year-old Brad Marchand and 40-year-old Corey Perry, both to score tonight at 14-1 pregame. Okay. And
what's that, the grumpy old man parlay?
They called it the Ageless Wonders Bet Boost. And that does come home. Moneyline Marv just
sent me that tweet. Both those guys are still playing at an incredibly high level. You wouldn't know those guys were up in their upper 30s or 40 years old by the way these guys play.
All right. Once again, quick update. We head to the bottom of the 8th inning in Durham, North Carolina. The Duke Blue Devils now need, they now are down to 5 outs. Matt, Murray State, 5 outs away from reaching the College World Series and becoming just the 4th 4 seed to reach the College World Series.
When you say 4 seed, you need to explain that a little bit, because a lot of people think, well, 4 seed's no big deal when you think about the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
This is a 4 seed in its opening round regional.
Yep. So regionals, for those of you new to college baseball, they changed the format in 1999, 64 teams involved. They start the postseason with 16 regional sites, and they're all seeded 1-4. So Murray State was the 4 seed in the Oxford region. Ole Miss was the 10 seed overall in the entire tournament, the 1 seed in that regional. Murray State was able to win that regional, advanced on to the Duke, the Durham Super Regional. Duke was able to advance out of their regional as well. They were not the 1 seed in that one, Matt. And now we have Duke and Murray State here. Duke came out of the Athens regional where the Georgia Bulldogs were the 7 seed. So Murray State, if they were to win tonight, will face UCLA in the College World Series. So one final spot remaining in the College World Series, which is a field of 8, 2 brackets. There's a bracket that includes Arizona, Coastal Carolina, Louisville, and Oregon State, Matt. And then the other bracket, UCLA plays the winner of Duke, Murray State, and LSU, Arkansas, who are, believe it or not, and it's just the way the bracket rolls, the 2 highest seeded teams, Matt, will play each other on Saturday night in the College World Series. It's like the NCAA tournament. They don't reseed. They don't do any of that. And sometimes it's just luck of the draw or lack thereof for Arkansas and LSU, the two highest remaining seeded teams, the two shortest odds to win the title. We're going to have to play each other first up in Omaha Saturday night.
We're on the brink of having a College World Series with Murray State and Coastal Carolina. Now, Coastal Carolina did win the World Series, what, 2016?
And they were a national seed, it is worth noting Boy, oh boy, the Florida Panthers, a breakaway goal, and it is now 4-1, and it is feeling like a celebration down there in Sunrise tonight. Series tied at 1, and just like that, 4-1 the score as the Florida Panthers, I believe that was Sam Bennett, as he got a breakaway and a beauty as he beats Stuart Skinner. And man, what a second period this has been for the Florida Panthers, Matt. And now 4-1 is the score. And let's take a look at where we're at for a live total. Still 8.5, juiced over now, -120. And boy, Sam Bennett, that was a thing of beauty. Just deked Stuart Skinner and beat him over his shoulder. 4-1, Panthers, as they have scored two unanswered goals here after giving up one early here in this period.
Well, I'm feeling pretty good about the Panthers bet. Not about the Oilers series bet, but Panthers -135 in my pocket tonight. They're now -2100 at DraftKings.
What do we got here? Is this a home run? Oh.
Home run by Duke.
Duke.
Cuts it to 5-4.
Not dead yet.
No, Duke is not dead yet. I really feel like that was a big missed opportunity by Murray State with bases loaded, no outs in the top of the eighth. Tim, a lot of times that comes back to haunt you when you can't cash in on those situations. Also got a bet tonight. We got to talk about this game's going to start in within a couple minutes. Petco Park in San Diego, Dodgers and Padres. Tim, on a slow night, this might be our game of the night. Dustin May against Nick Pivetta. I've got Padres at +115 tonight. And again, Nick Pivetta has been outstanding at home this season at Petco. 5-0, a 169 ERA. How about this, Tim? Pivetta at Petco, 44 strikeouts and 4 walks this season. That's a damn good ratio, 11-1.
Hey, folks, if you're looking for maybe a free entry into Circa Survivor or Circa Millions, well, guess what? The folks over at Winner Circle Proxy are doing just that. Winner's Circle Proxy, Matt, is giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest, Circa Millions and Circa Survivor, plus full proxy service. And you'll also be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season long. Enter now for your chance to win. Head on over to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN, winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. 4-1 the score. Sam Bennett just scored on a breakaway, beating Stuart Skinner 11 minutes ago in the second period, Matt. The total is now out to 8.5, juiced under at -135. 4-1 is the score. The Panthers, after giving up a goal early to Corey Perry here in this period on a power play, have scored two unanswered, and they are now -3,200 favorites on the money line. And you have to lay 3.5 goals right now on the puck line at +114 if you wanted to back the Panthers.
I don't think the Oilers have a big comeback in them tonight. They're just not playing well defensively. Tim, they've been sloppy throughout the game with so many penalties. I think what's interesting right now is this Conn Smythe futures board. If you think the Panthers are going to win this series, you've got three really live candidates to win it. Bobrovsky, Bennett, and Brad Marchand, right?
Bobrovsky is sitting at +450. Sam Bennett, he was 6-1 earlier today, down to +250. And Brad Marchand also down to +450. So very interesting Conn Smythe market. Connor McDavid, by the way, was the favorite, still remains the favorite, but he's now out to +180. Come on back. It is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Woo, we got a lot going on, folks. 4-1 is the score down in Sunrise, Florida. The Panthers looking to take a 2-1 series lead in the Stanley Cup final. We've got a California rivalry underway as the San Diego Padres hosting the Los Angeles Dodgers. And not always fun, Matt, when you have a bet against a guy named Shohei Ohtani as he leads off the game, not with a homer, but with a double.
Well, I kind of called the shot.
Yeah,
we were sitting there watching. I said, well, Nick Pivetta falls behind the count. I said, Shohei's probably going to lead off with a home run. And he led off with a double off the wall. But it's better than a homer if you bet the Padres. So Florida Panthers in control of this hockey game up 4-1, Tim. And it's amazing how quickly the money line price escalated here. When it was 2-1, what were you talking about? I think we were talking about Florida down to minus 240, 250 in that range.
I think I don't know if it got cheaper, but it was 298. And on the flip, I think it was around plus 220 for Edmonton. And then boom. A goal less than a minute later, and then the breakaway goal from Sam Bennett. So under 10 minutes to go in the second period, Matt, 4-1 is the score. And it's funny, you know, it's funny as we sit here.
Minus 5,000 now. So.
As we sit here every night and we look at the live betting market and you say, man, would have been nice. You could have played over 5.5 goals in that first period,
we
Matt.
We got a brawl.
And boy, these two teams do not like each other. All right, let's go down to Durham, North Carolina, Matt. The Murray State Racers at the plate, top of the ninth inning, berth to the College World Series on the line, the final berth to Omaha, and the Murray State Racers, your Cinderella, your darling, up by one run, minus 188 on the money line against the Duke Blue Devils. 5-4 is the score. Murray State, prior to this year, Matt, had not been to the NCAA tournament in 22 years. And that's just the NCAA tournament. They've never been to the College World Series. And they are three outs away from accomplishing that feat. The Racers, a very good team this year, won the OVC, 43-15 record, won the Oxford Regional, beat a Ole Miss team in a winner-take-all game last Monday night in a game that they led 12-3 and ultimately held on for dear life, won 12-11. And we'll see if they're able to hold on here tonight against the Duke Blue Devils. UCLA will play the winner of this game on Saturday afternoon in Omaha, Nebraska, in the really challenging portion of the bracket heading into the College World Series. It's UCLA, the 15, Arkansas, the 3, LSU, the 6, and the winner of Duke and Murray State. 4-1, Matt, the score under 9 minutes to go, second period. The Florida Panthers with that lead. And unfortunately, the Dodgers have already taken a early lead in San Diego.
Freddie Freeman with an RBI double drives in Ohtani. And now the Padres make an error on a routine ground ball. I think Manny Machado with a bad throw. Is that what happened here? Go ahead, catch the grounder to Machado. Makes a nice play. Throw to first is short hops. And that's going to be an E. Five on Machado. So Dodgers got runners on the corners. Let's check in on Murray State here, Tim. This looks like a fly out to right field. So we got a runner on first with one out. I hope the Racers don't come back to regret that bases loaded, no out situation where they could not score, could not add on when it was 5-3 in the eighth.
Yeah, that would, you will look back a eighth inning in which they had a homer, an RBI double, and then bases loaded, had their best player at the hill, at the plate, no outs. He strikes out. Then a ground out, fielder's choice. They throw out force at home and another strikeout. So we'll see if the Racers can add to the lead here. In case you missed it, Doug Kazarian put in a four-leg money same-game parlay for tonight's WNBA game. I did like the angle, though, that he mentioned. The Golden State Valkyries, the franchise, the new franchise, the expansive franchise, won over the weekend by 27 over the Las Vegas Aces. And you would think that is a pretty big letdown spot here tonight as the market has bet the LA Sparks out to a 7-point favorite in that one.
I don't follow much WNBA, but I saw that score was 95-68.
Yeah.
And so what happened to the Aces? No show performance. I do like Natalie Nicasi, who's the coach of Golden State. That's about all I have to say about that.
All right.
Let's see if Murray State can tack on to this lead, Tim. I know you're pulling for Tim Murray State to make
Absolutely.
It to the College World Series. What do we have for a live line right now at DraftKings? Duke down 5-4, two outs, runner on first for the Racers here in the ninth.
Right now we're sitting at minus 154. So if you think the Duke Blue Devils will come back, plus 120 as a ground out there, and that'll do it, folks. We're headed to the bottom of the ninth inning in Durham. Man, you know what I wish? I wish I had bet under 19 and a half, Matt. That would have been a nice bet to have. If you missed it, the pregame total was 17 or 16 and a half, Matt. We scored three runs in the first inning. The in-game number went to 19 and a half. We head to the bottom of the ninth, 5-4. And your live line, Murray State minus 140, Duke plus 110. So we'll see if the Blue Devils can go back to the College World Series for the first time in 64 years, or Murray State can get there for the first time in school history. The final team to head to Omaha. And as mentioned throughout the show, we will have shows live from Rocco's in Omaha on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. JVT and Stormy will be there, as well as Mitch and Paul. So we will be live, boots on the ground there in Omaha, Nebraska. Jensen Lewis also will stop by, I believe, the set on multiple days. And our guy Matt Grissom will be making appearances throughout the time there in Omaha. So excited for VSiN to be on the ground there in Omaha. One of the more enjoyable events out there in sports. Ever been to the College World Series?
I have not. And even though I agree with all you're saying about hyping up the College World Series and the experience, has never been on my bucket list of sports events I want to go to. I've been to Omaha a few times, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
A little Forrest Gump. That's all I got to say.
Last time I was in Omaha, it was for the NCAA tournament, Tim. It was a basketball tournament. I was there for Omaha, and the last call at the bars was 12:30.
Oh!
And let's just say it was not a positive experience. 12:30? Come on.
I did.
We live in a 24-hour town. That's culture shock when you go somewhere like that, and you're sitting there just after midnight, and somebody says, last call. Okay.
Anyway. I made a quick stop in Omaha on my cross-country venture last summer. Stopped. I think I got a sub from Jersey Mike's and went to bed. I think that was my Omaha experience. I did go to the College World Series, and I think it was 06? 06 or 07. One of the years Oregon State won the title, and Oregon State back in Omaha.
I do love Creighton basketball and Omaha Steaks. So there's a couple of great things about Omaha, and the VSiN team is headed out there.
Oh, leadoff walk, Matt. Not a good start.
Walks will haunt. This is not what you want, a leadoff walk.
Duke is now the betting favorite against Murray State, minus 120 after a leadoff walk in the bottom of the ninth inning. The Duke, it was actually a hit by pitch. It hit him, a breaking ball, hit his back knee. So now man on first, Matt. No outs, one run game. I tell you what, the Super Regionals have, I'll say, lacked some drama. The Coastal Carolina-Auburn game one was very good, but this one has been fun to watch tonight. And A.J. Gracia, for those who missed it, the controversy regarding him was that he was ejected very controversially at the end of Duke's regional clinching game, and he was suspended for game one of this Super Regional. And he is back in the lineup, obviously, Matt. And he is at the plate here for a chance to make this a huge, huge at-bat for the Duke Blue Devils.
All right, so we're watching Murray State trying to close out Duke here in the ninth inning. First inning in San Diego, not going Nick Pivetta's way. Throwing error by Manny Machado. Dodgers up 2-0 on the Padres. Two runners on, two outs. So hopefully Pivetta can get out of trouble here. But not what you wanted if you bet the Padres plus 115 with Nick Pivetta has been really solid, very consistent all season. He had a poor start at Colorado in early May. Otherwise, he's pretty much been money or close to it every time he's taken the mound. Right now in a 2-0 hole in the first inning. What do we have here, Tim?
We got an out. A.J.
So
Gracia flies out into foul territory, left field, one, two outs away for Murray State. Hey, Matt, you know we have some great podcasts here at VSiN.
How about the college football betting podcast?
I'm a big fan of that one. Paul Stone and Patrick Everson were the most recent guests last week. We'll talk to Scott Docterman, Big Ten preview coming up later this week. But we also have the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast, your first look at the day's betting lines, sharp action, and market moving. Less than 15 minutes, folks. Make sure you check it out. The Daily Morning Bets podcast is fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. So check it out wherever you get your podcast. 4-1, the Panthers with a 3-goal lead with 3 minutes to go in the second period. When we come back, Matt, will Murray State or Duke have clinched their ticket to Omaha?